Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here with week 73 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it is me, the Lone Vault Wanderer, drinking some coffee. It's bloody fantastic.
And we have a special guest with us this week.
I'm Vault of Daedalus. I'm a moderator on the Fallout Lore and Deus Ex subreddits.
Oh, you're a Deus Ex moderator.
I was about to say, wait, hold up, what?
Yeah, I've been
you got promoted.
A few months now.
I don't remember
That's
that.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Rob, you were on here on episode 2. 71 yeah. Episodes later, here you are, man. How's it feel?
It's been putting off coming back a lot, so...
Yeah. All good, though. I'm glad you're here. So, this week is going to be interesting because there isn't a ton of Bethesda stuff. But before we get into all of that, as always, if you want to listen on the go, links down below. Someone tried to catch me slipping. They're like, I think someone said, like, where's the mobile episode? And someone responded and said, like, just wait a week. It'll be there. And, like, it was there a minute later. I was like, fuck you. So that was a good victory moment. So, yeah, your episodes will be on the go at some point soon as you're listening to this. The thing is that I have the mobile episode ready, but I feel like if I release it on Saturday and it comes out Saturday night, then no one comes and watches the video. And tries to tune in.
You're such a fucking view whore, Maddie.
No,
I mean, God.
Look, we need good numbers to get guests on. That's why we need good numbers for our podcast, to get these guests on. So, yeah, it's important. But as always, in the links down below, mobile views, views. Jeez, you got it stuck in my head now. Mobile links, as well as timestamps if you want to skip to a different segment in the podcast. And each week, we want you guys to contribute to the podcast on Twitter by tweeting at any of the handles you see on screen with the hashtag HamRadioTime. Last week, as somehow I predicted, we got a ton of answers, and so we're going to try a different question again this week to see if I can get as many of you guys to interact with us as possible. Okay. Todd Howard spears you in a crowd of people. What's your initial reaction? Like, do you get up, you fight him? You go like, holy shit, Todd Howard just tackled me.
That's a great question.
Like, what is your initial reaction to that? Like, this dude just fucking tackled me. You don't even try to identify who it is and just fight. Like, I'm curious.
Dude, do we have a reason why Todd Howard is randomly spearing people in public?
No.
Why don't you like Fallout 4?
Like, you're like walking in the mall, group of people, and all of a sudden the crowd splits and he just darts through and hits you with a vicious Bobby Lashley spear.
It's like one of those videos where people just get randomly tackled into pools. They're the funniest thing.
Yeah, something like that. So that happens to you in a public place. Everyone's seeing you just get ripped down by Todd. What is your reaction? I want to know.
Great question.
Anyway, as I said, this week is a pretty quiet week for Bethesda. Really nothing going on. But what we wanted to talk about is the marketing focus on Nuka World. There has been a giant...
Yes.
Focus on it. It's just been, I want to say overkill, but like it's been a lot. Trailers, tons of screenshots, tons of information every day, multiple times a day. It's really insane. It's like Fallout 4 before it
What
came
I really
out.
Like, I don't know if you saw it. You know how when you go to any old amusement park, like when I went to Disneyland, for example, and they give you a map? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like
Yeah, they released the map before, too. It was.
It looked really cool. I was trying to think of a word for it, but. It's kind of like a cartoonized map that obviously isn't to scale or anything like that, but you're right. Like, they're having this huge marketing push on it, and I think, you know, to do with the fact that it is the last DLC. But by
also,
all accounts...
Weird, not to interrupt you, but what's weird is that they're also doing it for, like, a physical thing. Like, you can actually go to, I think it was GameStop, they said, and you can just get a physical version of that map.
Really?
It's kind of weird for a DLC that's coming out... 9 months after the game's launched. Like, I think that's
crazy.
Pretty cool.
You can't get them in the UK though, which is really annoying, but
no, Australia, I feel you, Rob.
My GameStop didn't have them, so
they've got these Nuka World lunchboxes as well, and a steel case.
Oh yeah, and clothes. Like, they didn't do any of this for Far Harbor, if I remember. Like, they did the standard, like, oh, we're putting the stuff from the DLC in Fallout Shelter. But that's all I've seen.
All they did for Far Harbor was the Far Harbor add-on image as a shirt. That's it. Did they even do a stream for Far Harbor?
Actually, yeah, they did do a shirt. I don't even think they did. I really don't think they did.
I think they put Dima into Fallout Shelter, or is that me just going crazy? I think they were one of the characters.
It was Old Longfellow.
That's who it was, yeah. Old Longfellow. So, yeah, it's been like almost like before Fallout 4 came out. You know, it's been that type of level of marketing. I don't know if it's the same level of hype, but it's been that same level of marketing where they've just been one after another with it. And it's been interesting to see, because it's like, is this... obviously, you have to pose the question, is like, is this really it? Because they're acting like...
Tinfoil hat time.
Yeah, they're acting like, you know, this is just a big to-do, but not officially coming out and saying, like, here's the last DLC. They've really never, aside from interviews with Pete Hines, they've never said, like, you know, join us on Fallout 4's final DLC or anything like that in the marketing. They've never said anything about it being officially...
Don't do this to me, Maddie.
I'm just
Don't
saying,
do this to me,
I'm
Maddie.
Not trying to work anyone up, because it's probably the end, or else they would have clarified. But they literally have not officially stated on any of the marketing material, this is the final one. Unless I've missed something. Anything I've seen on the Twitter, nothing. Nothing has said,
well, it's
final DLC, last trip, this is it, nothing like that.
They should have called it Last Ride, because it's an amusement park. It would have just worked. But it's interesting, because if they had really focused on the fact that this was the last DLC, I think people would have resented it for that. Like, people somewhat already do, because they know that it is the last DLC, and saying, oh, you know, we should get an extra one, blah, blah, blah. So I guess maybe if they had focused on that fact, then people would have resented this DLC a little bit more, because it's the last DLC, and that fact is constantly being shoved in their face. I'm not too sure.
That's possible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does, because, you know, any excuse to shit on Bethesda. But, yeah, it's been quite a bit.
But I've been really enjoying the marketing. I mean, it's lighthearted, it's fun, it's not taking itself too seriously. I guess we kind of touched on that with the official launch trailer, but it's true. And I'm not going to say whether I have the code or not. I do have the code. Whatever, but I haven't jumped into it yet, and I'm kind of still lukewarm as to whether I want to fully jump into it and play it, only because I have so many other commitments. But yeah, it just sucks. At the end of the day, it's the last DLC, and people, you know, might feel shitty about it, but I'm excited to move on. I really am, and I know many people are as well.
I just want it to be like end of September already. That's what I want it to be. For me, on a personal note, I get, like, really fucking anxious during these times with YouTube.
Like these in-between periods?
These periods where, like, it's like, okay, like, with Fallout 4, after it launched, like, there was always that degree of uncertainty, but you always knew, like, okay, it's going to be DLC, it's going to be, like, mods, it's going to be shit to do. And for me, even though I have a roadmap on what I want to do, I'm still, like, freaking out, like, on the inside going, okay, I'm so nervous on, you know... Because with Fallout 4, you could wake up and be like, okay, I got to make 3 videos today.
Yeah.
What do I want to talk about when it comes to Fallout? All right, I'll do that, and then I'll do 2 different games. Now there's, like, mods, and that's it.
Can I ask you, Rob, what's the feeling on the Fallout Reddit about Fallout 4 coming to an end? Like, I'm assuming that you check up on a bunch of posts and stuff. What are people's general sentiments? They could vary.
For spoiler's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still kind of a mixed bag. Because I was saying to a friend who also moderates, kind of a love it or hate it at the moment.
Yeah,
like, people are really looking forward to Nuka World and they think it'll be a good send off. There's also the other side that think it's a really bad send off.
Bad send off because it's the last, or bad send off because the theme of Fallout Nuka World.
Both. They say the general feel of Nuka World is kind of what they summarized Fallout 4 up to be. So they said it was like a fitting end, but in a bad way.
Because it was kind of like a joke, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cynical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, someone's like got a big evil grin on their face because they came up with something cynically clever. That's even a phrase. But
I thought it was cool that we got the animations they did. You know, like the Bullet Boy animations?
Yeah, the bottle and cappy, like, cartoon. Yeah, I thought that was cool. Because they did one for, like, the in-game, you could see in the trailer, and then they did one separately as, like, promotion. This is why I say, dude, make a Fallout cartoon. Just make a Fallout cartoon. I want it so bad. Just like a, almost like the Overwatch shorts, where they're only on the internet, only on YouTube. Do the same thing with Fallout. I'd love that. That'd be so cool.
That Bastion Overwatch short, like, just fucking made me cry. I swear to God, I'll keep mentioning
cry,
it.
But
it's
I was
so
just kind of like, I thought to myself, okay, you're not too bad. I don't mind.
I hate you a little less now, Bastion.
Yeah, that's what everyone said. They're like, wow, this character has pissed me off for like 90 hours, I saw in a comment, as now I feel for him for like 5 minutes.
It's because of the cute little bird. That's the only reason. That's
like
brilliant.
I said last week, this is the best moments. He's about to go brutally murder everyone, and then a bird changes his mind, and he goes back in the woods. I'm like, okay, that's...
Yeah.
That works.
But no, you're right. I think, like, maybe for the next big Fallout game or project or whatever, kind of associating that with shorts. And they did, to be honest, though, they did that this time around. I mean, do you remember the special cartoons that they had?
Yes.
Those were fun. Like, those were cool. And I think they could try and take it a step further with the Overwatch shorts. Because those are fucking so well done. But they're a bit more, like, they're a level up compared to the special shorts. I mean, those were kind of, what, 30-second to a minute small things. I can't remember how long they were, but...
Minute or two cartoons. I thought they had more personality, though, because, it's about the game. It was teaching you about what you could do with each special stat.
Yeah.
But it also was charismatic, whereas these Pixar-like videos from Overwatch are a lot... They're story material. That's what it is. They're giving a story to these characters that... To tell you the truth, one of my only complaints about Overwatch, I fucking love... It's still my game of the year. But, you know, my real complaint with it is that they don't put in-game these backstories at all.
Yeah.
There's no backstories where you could just click a button and read some text about them or watch a video that they put in the game, maybe, you know, just connect it to, something like that.
I'm very surprised that you can't access those Overwatch shorts within the game itself. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer.
I'm shocked that they instead release comics, which are not unlockables in the game. That would be cool for you. Hit a certain level, you unlock a comic, or like get a certain amount of unlocks for a player, unlock their comic. I'm shocked that they had long text files for each of the heroes before launch on the site, but didn't copy and paste those into the game. Like, to me,
dude, it's funny. This is screaming like Destiny, and people got upset at that.
I said the same thing in my review. I was like, yeah, you know, people like screamed at Bungie and Destiny for doing everything outside of the game, but everyone's like, that's Overwatch's biggest strength is the multimedia platform thing. I'm like, no, all in a package, it'd be, oh god, dare I say near perfect? Dare I say? I can't say that phrase anymore. It's been ruined for me. Like, I'm just gonna be like 60 sitting in a rocking chair. I'm gonna say that and have flashbacks.
He's just like sitting in a rocket chair. New perfect.
Just like,
that's all they say now.
Hands in on me and just.
No, but I know we kind of changed topic, but it would be awesome. Like, for example, there's like a bios page or whatever in actual Overwatch game where they describe the characters. Because right now, you're kind of jumping into the multiplayer. Say if you're a new player, right? If you're an old player, this is different. But if you're a new player, you jump into the game and you see a bunch of these characters. You don't know who they're about or what they're about. Maybe you haven't seen the marketing because you're a casual fan. Mm. And it's kind of hard to get a little bit invested. When you watch the Bastion short, everyone hates Bastion a little less for a reason. Because they get invested in the character. They understand his backstory. They understand why he has a fucking bird pet. But you don't get that sense when you play in the game. And I think that's such a powerful statement that could have been made in the game to, I guess, make you having a, I guess, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Just like
these
characters. I get more attached, etc. And you know, anyways, I'm don't know how to talk today, but it would have been better. Yeah. I'm definitely awake. Only 9 o'clock.
What we could shift this discussion to, though, is rather what's next for Bethesda. You know, they're saying Elder Scrolls 6 is very far away from the sounds of it. Very far.
No, it's not. you could spit out Elder Scrolls games every year.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, honestly, they could annualize Fallout and Elder Scrolls so easily, dude. So easily. With the way they set up Fallout 4's like questing system, where there really weren't too many actual side quests. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of radio quests. They did that in a new setting every year. Like, I really think a lot of people would eat that shit up. And I'm so happy they don't do it. But it's one of those things I thought, and I was like, damn, they could really just say, fuck
I'm,
this.
I'm happy they don't either.
Yeah, I tweeted earlier asking if we'll think we'll get any more updates or patches after Nuka World. Because I remember back when Skyrim, was it Dragonborn? Yeah. When that finished, they came out and said, okay, we've finished development on Skyrim completely now. So I'm wondering if when that'll be for Fallout 4.
I think the one thing that they just have to get right, and not for Fallout 4, just for Fallout 4's sake, but also for Elder Scrolls Special Edition's sake, is getting PS4 modding right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's going to be their focus. And whatever the fucking reason is, you know, in terms of why it hasn't been introduced yet to PS4, they need to get that right, because they did advertise it for Special Edition Skyrim. So yeah. I think that's going to be their main focus, and whatever patches come out would be suited, you know, to fix that, and also to refine console modding on Xbox One too.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're going to do a similar thing that they did with Skyrim. But what's weird is they did that in April, and I think Skyrim's Dragonborn came out
June, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I think they did it beforehand, saying like, we're done after Dragonborn. But I wonder if they're going to do the same with Fallout 4.
I don't. They might not, thinking about it, because they've got the Fallout 4 VR next year, haven't they?
That's so true. They have so many things on. Hey.
Yeah, I mean, but what I mean next is in the terms of like a big game or something. Do you think they're going to do like a? My guess was Starfield was going to get announced next year. I mean, I really think that's a thing. Cause
I think so, yeah.
They've been saying they've been working on it since, I want to say, either 2012 or 13. And that's around the time Next Gen Kits got handed out. And if it's a new IP, they don't. Now, mind you, I'm not a marketer. I'm just saying, from my standpoint, though, it's not a Fallout or an Elder Scrolls where it's going to have those jets right behind it from the start, where you probably need 9 months or so, 6 months, give or take, to market this thing, to let people know about Starfield and what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think they will have to, because regardless of what it is, it's going to disappoint the Elder Scrolls fans, because they're going to have to wait even longer. But I think that's probably why they came out and said that, yeah, we are working on more things before Elder Scrolls 6.
And not just Starfield as one project. They have a second project, apparently, you know, before Elder Scrolls 6. So whatever that's going to fucking be, who knows? But I think it's a good thing that they have the second studio in Montreal to support those additional projects. It allows them to spread their wings a little bit.
Also allows them to get it out faster. Honestly,
right.
That was an issue. They need to get games out a little bit faster, and I think they realize that, which is kudos to them. They have a lot of money they could sit on and just say fuck it, but I think they've realized that there's a certain demand that they have to make an effort to meet. Like, we appreciate that they take their time making these games, because they're excellent. You know, people say Fallout 4 is a bad game. It's not a bad game. A bad game's like that Ride to Hell Retribution. That's a bad game.
That's a bad game.
You know.
Or Rogue Warrior, which is like another Bethesda
those
game.
Are, published, mind you, but still, those are bad games. And so, you know, it's not like Bethesda Game Studios really made a bad game. And so there's a reason why. It's because they take their time, and they're also really smart and efficient, because they have such a small staff. So I think they realize, though, that, okay, you know, we can't have that insane wait for Fallout 4 or similar to Fallout 4, because it was kind of detrimental to the end product, where people ended up not enjoying it as much as they could have.
Yeah.
Mind you, that the game did have some glaring flaws. After a month, they started to stick out. But, you know, initially, they kind of rode it into the ground, sort of. It's like a hype
to
rocket.
Be honest, like, I'm of the thought that, you know, I don't necessarily want Fallout to be given to another studio, because I think Fallout 4 is a bad game, and Obsidian can make an awesome, great Fallout game. They can make a great game as well, and I like those games for their own reasons. But I think they should pass off the Fallout IP to another studio just so we can get another Fallout game in 2 or 3 years and not have to wait 7 years. I mean, think about it. One Fallout game a console generation. That's insane. That's crazy when you put it that way. I mean, put it this way. If we didn't have New Vegas, we would have had Fallout 3 for Xbox 360, PS3, and then Fallout 4, Xbox One, and PS4. That's nuts. One Fallout game a generation. And that's why
I think they actually took a step back and said, okay, that's silly.
I mean, that's why I want to see another studio pick up the Fallout reins. If it's Obsidian, great. My prediction is that they're going to bring it into an internal studio so they don't have to pay so many fucking licensing fees because they want to pay their own staff. They
probably
and
hand it off to Montreal. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Instead of
just buy Obsidian.
On that note, do you think it'll be the Montreal studio making the new IPs or...
I don't know. It's tough to
I think what they should do is hand the older IPs, for example, like a Fallout, off to Montreal, because I think Bethesda Game Studios in Maryland should try to spread their wings and try something new. Because Fallout 4, I've always said, shows that they're not short of good ideas, just they don't have enough licenses to put those good ideas into. Like, the voice protagonist and the voice acting in Fallout 4 was handled super well. It was so good. But that's not the type of thing that should be in a Fallout game, really. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Voice acting should be nowadays, but not a voice protagonist, I think. Despite all the good times we've had with Brian and Courtney and all these
despite
awesome actors.
Despite how good of... Like, put it this way, right? If they were to get anyone to do voice acting, like, Courtney and Brian were perfect choices. I mean, they were great at what they did.
They were amazing.
Yeah. Right?
But the sentiments, you know, from the Fallout community is that, well, that's not Fallout was traditionally based upon. And when you change something in such a drastic way, some people aren't going to like it. And I understand that. I really do understand that. I personally thought it helped. I thought it helped the story. But I can completely understand why some people thought that it wasn't good from a Fallout perspective.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I thought so, too. I thought it helped move the story along. It helped, like, hit the emotional notes. But I don't think it was for a Fallout game.
I think it worked the one playthrough.
And then maybe the second one if you chose the other character or the other gender.
Yeah.
True.
Well, after that, I just kind of really lost interest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to our next segment because we don't really have much news to round up here. It was just a discussion. But let's talk about some general games, what we're playing this week, and some of our favorite general gaming news that's popped up. I got a couple of headlines I screenshotted, so if you see me looking down, it's because... I can't bring up a page on my screen or else you won't see my face. So, got over to what we have here. Who would like to go first?
Look, I would like to go first because it's a Fallout thing and I think we should get it out of the way and move on. Mm. But I was playing Fallout 1 yesterday and the thing that I want to talk about, and I was playing it for like 10 hours, so it was an entire stream. It was great. But that game is such a pain in the fucking ass. And for this reason, you can't make the wrong mistake, you can't say the wrong thing, because if you do, it's not just like Fallout 3 where, for example, if you fail a speech check, they're just like the person denies you or something. If you accidentally hit your companion, for example, they'll attack you straight away. If you say the wrong thing to the Brotherhood of Steel, they'll kick you out of the fucking Brotherhood, like no warning or anything like
that.
You
gotta be a compulsive saver if you want to really
the
make
game
some
is brutal
progress.
Yeah. Like, there were so many times where I've had to fucking reload saves because no matter what you do in that game, it punishes you for it if you make the wrong decision.
There's a lot of
crazy.
Fail saves, or fail states, rather. It's pretty hard. I remember messaging Rob during it. I think it was Fallout 1, and it was at the Mariposa military base, and, like, I ended up in a cell there, and, like, I couldn't escape. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened to me as well. Like, for example, I think it's when you're trying to get past Harry. And unless you can actually correctly speech check him, or sneak past him or whatever, they'll put you in a fucking cell. And then I'm like, all right, what
and
do I do now?
You have armor, weapon, nothing. And
you have nothing.
Get by like, him.
How
the
fuck do I get
in that
out of
game
cell?
Are fucking brutal. They will kick the shit out of you.
Yeah. So that was my fun experience with Fallout 1. Like, I like the game. I'm enjoying it. It's different, but
Fallout 2 is a lot better in that regard, where you don't have a lot of... I mean, Rob, it's like your favorite Fallout game, so you might correct me here, but, like, for me, I didn't have any real issues where, like, I would get stuck somewhere or get fucking brutally killed. Aside from when you're, like, digging a grave and I think New Reno or something, and there's, like, explosives down there or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few... Yeah, New Reno is good for that. well, bad for it, I guess.
What is your favorite news, though?
Well, okay. One, I've just got to mention this. I love all the focus that's been going on BioShock. Love it. But I want to talk more about Nintendo NX. It's getting hyped up now, and I'm getting somewhat excited for it because it seems that Nintendo, you know, has realized what they did wrong with the Wii U. And while, you know, it could have been a great console, maybe it just wasn't marketed correctly. You know, everyone knows the issues, not having third-party support. And it seems like they are going in a different direction. It seems like not just fans, but also other publishers are getting on board with the NX. And that gives me hope. I don't know. I think it was EA, which said Nintendo deserves to do well. And it seems Ubisoft is also getting on board. Matty, you made a video about Bethesda wanting to make games for the new Nintendo console. I mean, it seems like publishers are coming back into the fray with the Nintendo. And not just from a nostalgic perspective, because I grew up with a Nintendo and I want to see them prosper, but for fucking competition's sake, and we don't want to have a duopoly in the games industry where it's Microsoft and Sony, you know, being the two major competitors. I mean, competition is good. Well, competition's fantastic for consumers because it pushes companies to do better, to give you better services at cheaper prices. It's simple economics. So I'm really excited for the NX, and I hope they knock it out of the park. I really do.
Well, also, you don't see crazy random things like Sony randomly changing the online price for their services.
That was interesting.
I looked into that a little bit, and they didn't seem to provide a reason other than to provide our customers with their standard service that they're accustomed to. We had to bump the price up. I'm like, okay, so you're saying things just got more expensive out of nowhere? That's what I got from that.
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that.
But Nintendo NX, I think they said that there was going to be like a Dragon Quest game as like a launch title or something like that. I saw that recently as well. I don't know if you guys have ever played that series. I know it's a JRPG series. I've never played it, but
no, I haven't.
That's the only type of like game thing I've seen that's been like confirmed for the NX.
I think they are going to be releasing Zelda Breath of the Wild as a launch title, and I think they need to, like, desperately.
Because that's the only Nintendo game I've seen that's been getting consistent, like, hype driving it. So I think if I'm Nintendo, bump it off the Wii U.
I think they really
want to drive sales, Pokemon open world game.
I've been saying that for years. I think everyone's been saying that for years.
Saying it for forever, since, like, the PS3 and 360. Just do, like, a open world Pokemon game of some form, dude.
Well, like, people saw Pokemon Go be really successful, and I think what that game proves is that Pokemon is an IP that can be applied to multiple different formats. I mean, at the end of the day, Pokemon's a fantastic, phenomenal IP and brand that can be applied to anything and potentially be successful. Let's have a fucking open-world Pokemon game. I mean, we all love Pokemon
Stadium.
It's going to
happen at some point. That's the hard part.
It should.
It's going to happen.
Should. Get Bethesda to do it.
Oh, my God. Oh man!
Anyway, so that's my news for today,
Rob. We know what you've been playing. We want to hear a little bit about that Deus Ex: Mankind Divided.
Okay, well, let's start. I've been playing a lot of it, so I'll start off by saying I don't think it deserves that mixed review on Steam. It hasn't been doing too well in that regard. Most of it boils down to three things. It's the microtransactions, the story, and general bugs and glitches for the PC port. Microtransactions is mainly consumables.
I remember you sent me a screenshot of those. That looked kind of silly to me.
Yeah, it was.
It didn't seem like it had a place.
No. People got really annoyed about that, but the good thing about it is that it seems to have been an afterthought. So, I think the general consensus of microtransactions is that they don't trust the devs to do progression properly in games if it has microtransactions, but it seems to me like they did it after the game was pretty much done. And also the developers came out and practically threw Square Enix under the bus, saying it was them who essentially wanted it to be put in. They didn't say that. They said the pre-order bonuses are one-time uses only because first-party,
Interesting.
forced it on them, which to me sounds like they wanted it to be one use only because they want people to rely on the microtransactions. And I, for the plot, I'm perfectly happy with it so far, and I'm pretty far in now.
Seems like it's been getting really good reviews across the board.
On what?
Seems like the same thing with Fallout 4, though. It's got good critic reviews, and the consumers are, like, ripping it apart for...
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's, because it's the second game. I think somewhere they said it was going to be a trilogy. And this is the second game in that, with Human Revolution being the first one. And because Human Revolution was a reboot, technically, it had more of a solid ending just in case it didn't do well. Similar to, what was it, Wolfenstein? People thought that was a solid ending because I think he died at the end. Ooh, spoilers. But yeah, because it is a second part of it, I wasn't expecting that much closure. I've been spoiled on it, so I do know what happens.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's happened with Nuka World as well, so it's expected now.
Fucking hell.
So to me, I mean, it was expected. But I just got to see how it pans out myself. As for the bugs and glitches, I haven't had that many. It's a very demanding game. I mean, I've got a i7 3.4 quad core and GTX 970. That's what you've got, isn't it, Lone?
Yeah, 970. It's great.
Yeah. And I can run it on high and get stable 60.
Okay.
But there's also very high and ultra, and I just can't touch them and get a good performance, but it is very
really
good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It does look very good though.
Yeah, I've seen some nice screenshots of that game. It's awesome.
It looks good on high.
I've had two issues from what I've heard. Number one, I told you about this, Rob. We laughed about it. The fade to black, that still bothers me. The fade to black stealth takedowns. If you don't know what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, in Deus Ex, it was in Human Revolution. When I was playing it, I told him, I was like, I can't stand this. I was hoping it wouldn't be in Mankind Divided. I watched gameplay, I'm like, oh, there it is again. It's when you're, like, against the wall, and you go to do a stealth takedown, you, like, press B, it'll fade to black, do, like, an animation or something, and it'll fade back in. Or actually, it won't fade back in.
Why does it do that?
It'll just fade to black, fade in, you'll do crazy animation. I think it's, like, a loading process of some form.
Yeah, and the person's like on the floor.
Yeah. It's more like a cinematic thing I think they went for, but in Mankind Divided, there's like a shorter space between that fade to black. The fade to black is shorter, so it's less intrusive.
The other issue that I heard about, you can correct me on this because I haven't played it yet, but based off what I saw on Shinobi's Twitter, he was saying how there's like a part in the game where it removes all your augmentations again. Like they did in Human Revolution on the boat. And you had to get all your upgrades back again through Praxis kits.
Yeah, but you only have the... You start the game with all your orgs from the last game. Because basically still got them. But...
Hold on. Is this kind of like an Assassin's Creed 1 scenario where you're an expert assassin and then you're stripped of all your ranks?
But is it like in the first hour, or is it like you're going halfway through the game with all this stuff and then...
Yeah.
No, it's first hour. It's tutorial mission. After tutorial mission, you get reset.
Oh, because he's like, he was complaining, or not rather complaining, he was saying like, he sounded pretty shocked by it, is what I got from
that. I
like that mechanic though. I mean, like at least with regards to Assassin's Creed, I haven't played Deus Ex, but... In the first Assassin's Creed, you're getting introduced to all of this cool equipment that you have, you know, what the future holds, essentially, you know, and then you're taken back to basics because you don't start a game overpowered.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I don't like starting a game overpowered. It's a pet peeve of mine because I feel like it ruins the surprise. One of the best surprises is when you buy this expensive piece of equipment and you find out what that equipment does.
I spent
all this money on something I already tried at the beginning of the game. I think it's a poor way of starting a game, personally. I mean, with Deus Ex, it's different because they have a bunch of new augmentations, and also you're probably slightly familiar with it if it's just carrying over from the previous game. So if you played the previous game, then you'll know what you have.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like a middle-of-the-game thing, because that was one of my issues with Human Revolution, was that in the middle of the game, they took all your shit away, and you had to like get it back again. And that, to me, was like... It was
deflating.
Just tedious. Yeah, it was deflating. I ended up rushing the second half of the game because I was like kind of pissed.
Yeah, I mean, that was... That mission you're referring to in Human Revolution was the DLC mission. And originally, I think before the Director's Cut came out, you played it separately. So it pretty much was so you could have a challenge with it instead of running into it.
Actually, yeah, I forgot. At the end of that, you get all your shit back, but still, I just, no.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. It's the only part of the game I didn't like. It's a great game. I didn't like that part, though. But
fair enough.
I want to play Mankind Divided.
Yeah, I mean, the thing of the Mankind Divided one is you carry on from the previous game, and obviously you're all fully orged up, fully upgraded and everything. But you lose after the tutorial mission because of story reasons. I think it is good they did that because you do start off with pretty much everything. Otherwise, you wouldn't really have any reason to progress. Yeah. It would be way too easy.
Absolutely. So is it, because I know you're a big Deus Ex fan, and for you it's like Deus Ex and Fallout. Is this living up to your personal hype level? Because I assume you're like many others where you learn from Fallout 4 and you're like, with Deus Ex, that's like your other big series. So I want to know, it's living up to what you want it to be?
Yeah, it's closest as it can get to Human Revolution, which I'm perfectly happy with.
Cool.
The color system is updated, the graphics obviously updated.
How's the new engine run? Like,
yeah, it's great apart from the port issues, but I don't know if that's the engine or just the bad port. I find there's more choices in this one, like choices that have meaning, so far anyway. Hmm. The weapon... Well, actually, I can't really speak for the weapon combat because I do stealth playthrough at the moment, so I barely use weapons.
I know it's hard to measure now because you're in the middle of your first one, but... could you see yourself playing this again?
Definitely. Because, like I said, those key choices, I've moaned about it on Twitter, being indecisive about which one to pick. I'm just worried about the ending part. Because if Square Enix has been meddling in it, it would suck to have to wait until the next game to get some proper closure.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was saying to you... Sorry.
No, you're fine. Keep going. Yeah.
As I was saying to you on... DMs, part of the 5-year wait between Human Revolution and Mankind Divided was developing the new engine.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the next game won't be such a long wait.
Well, hold on. They were working on nothing else but this game for 5 years because of the engine?
I honestly don't follow any of their other games. It's just Deus Ex.
That's long. All right.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say is I hope to God that Square Enix doesn't do this with Final Fantasy 15.
Sorry, they released Thief in 2014.
Oh, Thief. Okay. Yeah,
there's a Tomb Raider, Rise of Tomb Raider.
Wait, the same team who did Deus Ex did Thief?
I don't know if it's the same team, same company. I don't know if it's the same team.
Same company, I guess.
I was about to say, that's shocking. that would have been legitimately shocking if that same team did Thief, because Thief fucking blew. Wow. And now, I don't say that often about games where I'm like, this game sucks. Thief could have been so good. Oh, man. When I look at Thief, it's like, damn, I want to play you. And then I play it, and I'm like, this sucks. It's so linear.
That sucks.
Anyway.
What's your news, Maddie?
Well, let's start off what I've been playing. I've been playing the same games. I just beat Divinity Original Sin again. That is such a good RPG. It took me 75 hours, though. It's a long fucking game.
I had a lot of RPGs.
I love RPGs. They're my favorite. Also, because Divinity Original Sin 2 comes out on Early Access in a couple weeks. It's one of my most anticipated games of this year. And so I'm really excited for the second one. So that's why I wanted to run through that one. And so I did that with a friend. Beat it in co-op about 75, 78 hours or so. Very long game.
Nice.
Very long game. But yeah, really fun. So I'm very excited to try out the second one. So that's what I've been playing. I got four headlines here. The first one alone I wanted to talk about because I think you'd be excited about this. All these headlines are coming from Game Informer, by the way. More secrets teased within Bioshock the Collection. Scour Rapture for golden reels that unlock Imagining Bioshock video series. Do you know about that?
I didn't know it was tied that way, but I knew that these videos, like, these are the video series with Ken Levine talking about the, oh man, like,
yeah.
I just love all this attention Bioshock's getting.
Dude, it's so obvious though. It's so obvious there's a third Bioshock coming.
Of course there is.
Or whatever you want to call it, because honestly, dude, they are hyping up a collection so much. And it's going to sell well. You can tell it's going to sell well. But they are hyping this thing up to get Bioshock in the news again. And then...
Definitely. I mean, there is so much marketing going behind it. There's such a focus going behind it. And I think, personally, that this is a great chance to reboot the BioShock series in a new direction. Mm-hmm. I've said this multiple times in the past.
But it's also dangerous, not to interrupt you, but it's also dangerous because they're hyping it up. A lot of people are going to be playing this again or for the first time. A lot of our viewers are interested in BioShock but really haven't played it. So, you know, if they go in and they play these BioShocks, love what they did, and then they do something drastically different in a new vision.
But this is the problem, though, right? The fact is, Ken Levine isn't working on these games anymore, and we need to accept that. And I think more people that are starting to play at BioShock need to understand that dynamic. And this is why I think they need to reboot the series and make it very clear who's working on it now and the direction that they're going in, and make it just different. You know, have it be BioShock, I don't know, Underground, for example. Like, who the fuck knows? It could be anything. But just make sure that you don't touch what Ken Levine did, or try and draw too many parallels, or try and continue the story. Yeah. Because if
Easter
you do that,
fine, but
Easter eggs are fine, but don't you know, hardcore fans of BioShock, they liked what BioShock 1, 2 to a lesser extent, and Infinite did, right? That game, those games were kind of like, at the end of BioShock Infinite, were wrapped up in a nice little bow, given back to the fans and said, that's BioShock, as I envisioned it, me being Ken Levine. And I don't think that should be touched in any way. I think they should just move on, reboot, do something new, ensure that people understand that this is a new company working on a new BioShock with a new direction. And BioShock, I think, is flexible enough to be able to be applied to different settings and different stories and different characters. Infinite proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And maybe that's because of Ken Levine's brilliance in storytelling. But I still think they
captured that same magic that Underwater did up in
definitely,
the sky.
I'm so excited, though. I am excited to see what they have.
I was watching the new gameplay that they released about... it was in Infinite, and it was like the first part where you walk out of the... I think it's like out of the... air balloon, I'm not sure. You like land and then you walk into the town and like the bridge folds down and everything.
Yeah, and there's a big statue there.
Yeah, and like he's walking down and you see like the light, like the sun just like beaming down on you. And
beautiful, like, isn't it?
Oh, dude. And that was one of the few games that every corner in BioShock Infinite was just scoured by me. I had to see everything in this game because it was so fucking gorgeous. And that's why I'm excited to play Infinite again, because I've actually never played Infinite on my PC. I played BioShock 1 on my PC, where that one might not be as intriguing to me again.
Yeah.
But 2 I haven't played in ages. I have not played 2 since, I want to say, when did 2 come out? Because I want to say 08, but I'm not sure.
Ooh, I think 09,
okay,
maybe.
All right, so maybe it was like 2010 for me or something like that. But I have not played BioShock 2 in a long while. I've only played that game once.
Yeah.
And not because I didn't like it. I remember finally enjoying it. Haven't had a replay.
Oh, no. It was released in February of 2010. So there you go.
Okay, 2010. Wow.
But this is the thing about BioShock 2. More people need to give it a fucking chance, because...
You have to.
No,
it's
going to
be in a fucking collection of games.
It's going to be in the collection. You need to play it. I don't care what people say. Yes, you could probably play BioShock 1... BioShock Infinite and the DLC, and be satisfied with BioShock and get, you know, the main gists of the story. But I think BioShock 2 offers something very different in terms of being a big daddy, you know, having much different combat compared to the first game, facing the big sisters, which, holy shit, they're like monstrosities, like scary fucking things. Mm-hmm. But I think that people should play it. Just for the sake of playing it, it's not that long, and you might find something that you like in that game. But I wanted to mention about BioShock Infinite, though. The bit that always gets me is when you're getting shot up into Columbia, and this is not really a spoiler, and you're first introduced to the city, and the music is just... dun, 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 and it's just like, oh, it's perfect.
It's the best part. It gives me goosebumps without fail each time.
Every time gives
me goosebumps. Reminded me of the thing in the vault in Fallout 3. I love that. Mm-hmm. I've said
it's that similar. Yeah, it's a similar. For those who haven't played BioShock but have played Fallout, it's an identical moment. It's like when you walk out of the vault in Fallout 3 or 4.
Oh yeah,
and you see just everything, and it's the same thing with Infinite, where you just float down and you see everything. It's like, holy shit! Like, I can't believe.
Daedalus,
that.
Have you finished like the DLC of BioShock Infinite?
I have not. No.
Oh God!
I know. I've not played 1 or 2 either, though. So.
Okay, this is what you need to do, all right? You need to play... This is what I'll say to people.
I was going
to
wait for the collection.
Okay, when the collection comes out, this is what I'll say. At the very least, what people need to do, and this is bare minimum, is play Bioshock 1, Infinite, and the DLC. What's it called? I can't remember the DLC. Burial at Sea, right? Mm. 1 and 2. If you want to play, if you have time to play Bioshock 2 and you're interested, by all means play it after Bioshock 1. But that's the bare minimum that you need to do. Yeah. And then you'll get, you know, the Bioshock story and the story of Rapture just tied up. It's amazing.
Especially because Bioshock 1 isn't as long. I think Infinite's a lot longer. Bioshock 1 isn't, though. So definitely you could fit in Bioshock 1 and Infinite.
I'm probably opening a can of worms here, but what's people's issues with Bioshock 2?
I don't know.
This is what I think.
I don't actually know. I just thought it was like a thing that people didn't like, and I'm not saying that to be like a dipshit. I'm just genuinely saying I don't know what people don't like about 2. Because when I played it, I wasn't like, this is not what I like about Bioshock. There wasn't any drastic changes. Like, the only drastic change is you, instead of hunting out the big daddies, you are the big daddy. I was like, that's fucking cool.
I think it stems from a lot of things. I think for hardcore fans, they have at the back of their mind that Ken Levine didn't work on this, like, predominantly. He supported it a little bit. So I know, but for that reason, they'll find themselves nitpicking at every stage and think, would Ken Levine have done it like this? I think that's the main reason. Secondly, I agree that the story is not as good as Bioshock Infinite. I agree that the immersion isn't as profound as Bioshock 1 because you've already played Bioshock 1, so it's not like that feeling when you first arrive in Rapture and you see a spider slicer rip open the fucking throat of someone else. Like, that was scary as shit, and it was really
immersive.
It's
all unfamiliar, and it gets you. Yeah.
So, and also as well, I mean, I'm not saying this because I'm a Bioshock fan. Bioshock 1 is, across the board, considered to be one of the greatest games of all time. Like, you look at IMDb, you look at any top video games list, Bioshock 1 is always there. For sure. Try and compare that, you know, to any other game.
Yeah.
And some games just can't hold a candle. I think that's a major reason, too.
Next bit of news I wanted to talk about. EA should delay Titanfall 2. This is an opinion piece on Game Informer, but I thought it was, just from the headline alone, I was like, you know what?
Agree.
I think they should.
I agree, too.
Why? What's up with it? I've not been really... I didn't follow Titanfall 1, so I've not followed this one either. I'm really out of the loop in all this.
For me, it's like, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with Titanfall 2. I think it's just releasing at the wrong time.
Yeah.
That's what I think, personally.
Because it's not just that it's being released at the same time as another really popular game. It's being released at the same time as a game that's published by the same company in the form of Battlefield 1. It's just an interesting release window, for one. But secondly, I think I've seen a lot of pieces and articles on how the multiplayer is just weird. Like, they did that tech test, and I don't know, I think people are having a lot of issues with it. I think Eric Kane also said that they should delay it, or that it wasn't right. I think a combination of those two things means that it'll be a good idea to delay it, even if it's a month, you know?
For me, I think they should delay it into the spring, unless they have something else planned. That's my just guess.
Yeah.
Because apparently, I haven't had a chance to do the tech test yet and see how it rolls, but from what I've gathered, the game needs work. It's not generating the same hype that Titanfall 1 did. And it's releasing next to the biggest shooters of the year, which are Call of Duty and Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster. It reminds me of Tomb Raider, where it's just this stubbornness, like, fuck Fallout 4. Let's launch it on Fallout 4's launch day anyway. So, for me, it seems like stubbornness, but it also seems like they're trying to act like maybe it won't get the attention that it'll get no matter what time they release it.
I think
they're catering to a specific fan base for EA specifically. Like, okay, we have Battlefield for people who want to like get a little tactical with things, and then we got our fast-paced shooter.
Nah. I think
that's my only excuses I can think for why they're doing this.
I think most people, you know, don't have much time. Like, a lot of people don't have much time to play games because most people have jobs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So they don't, at least from my perspective, I don't look at Battlefield 1 as this, you know, old war time style game, and then Titanfall 2 is a different type of game, and then make my decision based on that. I'm just like, alright, which is the shooter that I want to play this summer? And that's as much as I'll look into it. And I think if more people are playing Battlefield and it has more hype around it, and it's a more polished game, and that's the game I'm going to play. And I think it's the exact same issue that Battleborn faced with Overwatch.
You should clarify, though, for people that your summer's at a different point in time, because people are probably thinking that you're a moron right now.
Summer is November, December, January, February, Australia time, like real roughly. Like, summer's technically not November, but whatever.
Is it true you still got Christmas cards with snow on?
No, so Australia's a complete summertime Christmas. You should experience it. It's great. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It really is. I mean, you know, barbecuing at nighttime when it's summer, and oh, it's great. It's awesome.
No, yeah, I love summer. Mine's coming to a close on Monday. Trust me, I love summer.
You should experience a summertime Christmas.
You should experience a wintertime Christmas.
And I will one day. I probably will one day. I'll visit my family in America.
I get what you're saying, because for me, I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, what's appealing about being hot and sweaty and the bright sun on Christmas Day? Like, what's fun about that? But you're probably wondering, what's the fun in being freezing cold with snow on the ground everywhere, there's driving hazards, and it's cloudy and ugly out? Like, why would I like that? I don't know. I think it's a difference in perspective, because I love shitty weather. Shitty weather puts me in a good mood. It's the weirdest thing. I love the cloudy days. I love rainy days. I love snowy days. I don't know
but
what
it is. This is the problem, though, right? Australia doesn't have many places in the cities anyways that snow. That's the reality. So if it was a wintertime Christmas in Australia, it would just be cold and rainy. It wouldn't be cool snow. We don't really get that here, unfortunately.
Oh, well. Other headline I wanted to knock on was Don't Nod releases 15-minute vampire walkthrough video. Have you guys heard of Vampire?
Yep.
Never.
Vampyr. No?
Yeah. There's two sort of like it. Is that the World War
One? It's a World War One RPG where you play as a vampire. And they released a 15-minute gameplay video. I watched it two nights ago. And it looks really interesting. Now, Don't Nod is the team that made, I want to say they did Life is Strange, if I remember correctly. Did they? I can't remember. Lone, would you mind looking that up?
What's the name again?
Don't Nod.
Don't Nod?
Yeah. Games. All one word.
Okay. That's a really weird... Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to question it. Don't Nod Entertainment. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. I just want to know who developed Life is Strange.
You're right.
Is this where we're going now with Dev Studios? Just like... Hello Games and Don't Nod.
they released Remember Me, Life is Strange, and Vampire. Yeah.
There you go. And Life is Strange was fantastic. Fucking amazing game.
Yeah, I've heard
Remember
that.
Me, hit or miss for people. For me, it was a hit. I really liked it. Hidden gem. Play it if you haven't. It's got a cool combat system. Really, really cool setting. Like a dystopian kind of Paris, but it's futuristic. It's so cool. And so what Don't Nod has showed, especially with Vampire as well, is that they have really fucking good ideas no matter what. You know, Life is Strange is a good spin on the typical Telltale game with its rewinding time and more interactive gameplay instead of just only making choices, but as well as telling a fantastic story. Remember Me, like I said, hit or miss. Good combat, interesting story, interesting universe, at least for me. And so Vampire is another case of it. Interesting time, interesting scenario where you're in World War One times, but you're playing as a vampire, and it's like a role-playing game, so you know, you can choose to obviously feed on people or not feed on people. It's a lot like Vampire the Masquerade or whatever, you know, that game that CJ always tells us about, Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bloodlines or whatever. So it sounds a lot like that, and I enjoyed that game quite a bit, but this one seems to be more modernized in the sense where combat isn't a bitch, and I'm looking forward to it. They said it's like a semi-open world, so it's a game I'm definitely curious about. It's apparently coming out next year, and I just wanted to talk about that to see if you guys watched that 15-minute gameplay walkthrough or not.
Sorry, I didn't.
Oh.
Neither.
Okay, not a big deal. Last bit of news I wanted to talk about was, I know you guys aren't into these games, but I just want to mention, because I think this happens a lot with games in general where people read a headline and misinterpret what it means, but it says Final Fantasy XV's path narrows about halfway through. And what the director of the game said was that you, like, the first half of the game is open world and the second half is more linear. And what I get from that is that people are saying, like, oh, they lied, you know, it's just open world until you get to a certain point. But it's like with any game where there's a main story, and once you get going in the main story, you get to this certain part, the narrative takes over now. There's not time for that open world shit where they're, where it, for me, I think it's a bit of a kind of breaks up the game when I'm not just going from mission to mission and the story's carrying itself, and instead, like, finish the mission, okay, I'm suddenly back in the open world. Now I got to run across the open world to here, start up the mission there, like almost like GTA 5. Yeah. Maybe that's just me, but it's a little weird for me.
Did he mean it in the sense of linear world or linear story? I interpreted that as like Fallout 4 at the start. You can side with anyone for a certain amount of time, and then
exactly.
You have to make a final decision.
Yeah, even in his quote, he said, you know, in the second half, you take a main route, you know. So there's side shit there, but I think what he means is that it slims down. Like, there are less options. You know, you're not just going to be running around getting lost in side quests and shit, because once you get to a certain point in the game, like with any game, the story's going to take over. And, like, people were, like, flabbergasted at this. Like, what the fuck? You know, what are they talking about? How could they lie to us and shit? And I'm like, no. He's saying that...
They lied to us.
Yeah, the story's going to take over.
You were the chosen one.
Regardless.
I just love some of the reactions people give to video games.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
But that'll wrap up our general gaming news bit. It was a good talk. But what I want to hear is what people are asking us this week. Sloan, you're the one who's fielding the questions this time.
Oh, yeah. All right, so two people have asked, why did my dad leave me? So can we not give those kinds of questions?
Was he serious?
It's Spazzy.
Oh, Spazzy?
God, Spazzy. Someone asked, are you excited for Nuka World? Yes. It's a Harambe question, and I think that's the...
Can that meme die?
Yeah, I know.
It was funny at first, but like...
Lone told me off for that earlier.
Yeah, but now it's like, Dad, why...
You released a Harambe meme before. I've lost all respect for you. all right, so I'm trying to find this question about the voice actor. So... Ed_philosophy asks,
I like him.
Who are your favorite video game voice actors?
I
will say, because it's the first one that came to my mind, is Roger Craig Smith. He did Ezio from Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood and all of that.
He also did Batman in Arkham Origins.
He was
good at that.
I know the obvious answer is Troy Baker, but he did Booker. I'm just saying, but no, Roger Craig Smith, I think he just nailed Ezio. It's just amazing.
I think, for me, Yuri Lowenthal, he was, the man's in, like, every game. Like, I can identify him like that. You'll hear him, he'll do some of the yells, like, in the background during, like, War Games or whatever. But he was also the main protagonist in Sunset Overdrive. He was Sasuke, he was Yosuke. Like, he's been a lot of characters. I forget the name of the main character in Prince of Persia. Like, he's been in so many games, and he's just so good. He's got one of the most unique voices in the business, and I want to fucking meet this guy. The other one, and I know this one is going to sound like a cop-out, but really Courtney Taylor. She was in KOTOR. She played as Juhani.
Yeah.
She was Jack in Mass Effect. I love Jack. And she was obviously the female protagonist in Fallout 4 as well, on top of many other gigs she's done. And Courtney is fucking unbelievably talented. She's so good. So she's definitely one of my favorites too.
Cool. What about you, Rob?
I'm going to go with Matty and be a full cop out. to be fair, I don't really pay attention to a lot of voice actors, but it just happens.
Okay, who's your favorite character in terms of voice, and then we'll figure out who the voice actor is.
you won't know because it's from Deus Ex. It's the antagonist, Bob Page, who's voiced by Cliff Stevens. I think he just has like a really unique voice. I mean, I can't even tell what accent it is.
IMDb. Alright. So, he has done Deus Ex. Deus Ex. He was in Prison Break as a counter customer, apparently.
Yeah,
He was in Walker, Texas Ranger. Did you know that? He also voiced Age of Empires 2. That's interesting.
Is this just games only, or voice actors in general?
He's.
Was it both?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I like Vegeta's voice actor a lot.
Oh, yeah. I do like Sean Schmell, even though he won't come on the podcast.
I'm still mad at him for that. I'm fucking believable.
That's so
hey,
funny.
Man, yeah, I'll come on. Psych. I was just kidding, bro. It's like, really?
That's so that's a, funny, yeah, though.
I was like, it's a fuck joke, bro.
Like, oh, I laughed. It was funny.
I did too. And I was like,
But he's done a lot of stuff. So he obviously did Strong, Fallout 4. He does Goku. He does Lucario in Super Smash Brothers.
Really?
Bunch of other shit. He does a lot of stuff. He's Bruce Wayne and Batman in The Dark Knight Rises.
Hmm.
Mm. Do you like him a little bit more now, Maddie?
No.
Okay.
I was just looking at my names to make sure I wasn't forgetting anything. I love Fox's voice actor from Smash Bros. Melee.
Mission complete.
Yeah. Him and Link. I've never heard anyone successfully ever imitate Link or Fox. You can kind of do, but Link, I've never heard anyone fucking imitate him properly. Perfect.
Yeah.
Shot! And he fucking does the girls up the.
Sit! That's great.
And that double jump noise he makes where he like jumps and he goes like that. Like, I don't know how someone did that. It's just.
That's brilliant. God. All right. I guess what's the most. All right. This comes from Joe Butler. He asks, what's your most anticipated game being released in 2016?
I just made a video on that. It'll be coming out later this week, but I'll say it anyway. Final Fantasy 15. All right, I'll shut up now.
Rob?
Well, it was Deus Ex, but it's Battlefield 1 now.
Okay.
Battlefield 1, that's interesting.
It is an interesting pick. Hmm. I think for me, it's obviously Bioshock, the collection, but in terms of new IP...
I was going to say, dude, you picking a fucking collection as your favorite game?
I will say Titanfall. I am looking forward to Titanfall.
Really?
Yeah, like, I liked Titanfall 1, and I want to know what they're doing with the story. But to be honest, there's not many games that are coming out. So, anyway, here we go. Daedalus, first question. Have you played No Man's Sky?
A little bit on my brother's PS4, yeah.
Maddie, have you?
Yes.
So, here's a question from @CanBacon22. Thoughts on No Man's Sky, both the game itself and the effect of the hype that preceded it? Go.
Matthew first.
Well, like I said in my review, I was like, okay, how did no one learn from Fallout 4? I said this on the podcast too. I enjoyed it. I think part of it was Sean Murray did lie quite a bit. I hate to say it because the guy was so excited about his game. I think he got a little carried away.
Did he lie or was he intentionally vague?
There's a lot of videos of him promising, saying stuff will be in the game that is... not in the game.
Okay, so the one thing...
And they're not leaps. Like, they're like, this will be in the game. It's not in the game.
Okay, I haven't played the game, so I'm not judging here. But I'm just... Some of the times when people say he promised multiplayer, whenever I saw him mentioning that, what he said was, there's a chance you can see other players in the game, but it's a very low likelihood.
Because of how big it was. Not because it's not possible.
And two players try to meet up, and apparently they weren't in the same instance or something. Two players it's still not have not met up yet, so I think people are just denying that this game is even like a multiplayer game.
Interesting.
Yet, I saw a YouTube friend of mine post a screenshot, and he ended up in someone else's galaxy. So he's been where someone else has been, so that means that there is an online component. They are marking that you're traveling to someone else's galaxy, which is cool. I didn't go in. I was excited for the game, and I made a video talking about why people should be interested and excited for it. When I made that video, no one got mad at me, but when I made that video, I didn't realize how much hype was driving this game. I didn't know that this was like Fallout 4 hype train times 2. Like, a lot of people were crazy fucking stoked for this game. And I want to say I don't know why, but like, I think a lot of people just thought that since there was this intrigue, since Sean Murray kept kind of explaining the game fully, but people are like, wait, this game's so big, there's got to be more, that people's own suspension of disbelief kind of fuck them.
I think, and having not played the game, you know, there's obviously on one side where it was intentionally vague and, maybe sometimes false marketing, and then on the other side, it's people letting the hype, take them away and building up these expectations that could never be met. I think, as always, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a bit of both.
Pardon me, I choked on my water. There's also a huge difference between what we saw in trailers, like the quality of stuff that was there. And
did you see that Jurassic Park comparison?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I know that was an intentionally bad shot of the game, in a sense where it wasn't the best looking shot of the game, but like it was still the game in general, and there's not nearly that much vibrant colors or anything there.
That was so funny. Yeah. I felt bad for laughing.
No, it was funny, but I'm saying, Rob, like that's the example I was referring to.
Yeah,
I mean, I briefly followed it for a short time when it was first announced, because to me, that's like my perfect type of game. I'd love to just sit back and play that all day. But
okay.
I kind of knew since then it wouldn't deliver on it, so I didn't jump on the hype train with it, because I just knew I'd get my hopes up too much.
Yeah.
So I sat back for the 2 years, and it came out, and I started reading all the reviews for it, and there was that big Reddit post on the No Man's Sky subreddit about... It's like completely...
Where they kind of catalogued everything that was promised and not met.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, ugh, I'm not going to bother reading it. I'm disappointed in it, really.
Yeah.
So I went on at my brother's PS4, not even for that long. I just landed on the planet. And all it is mining. So...
Yeah.
I'm looking at streams of it. You see, like, a lot of creature assets being reused a lot. And you can tell that it's just, like, snapping together like Lego pieces. Mm-hmm. So that kind of suspended the immersion a bit.
What I hope is that this game is a... Like, finally, if there was a game that was ever going to be a lesson learnt for not building up your expectations, this should be the game. Like, I've never seen a game have so much hype around it as No Man's Sky did, and the fact that it didn't meet expectations should teach people, just take your time, wait till the reviews come out, you know, make an informed purchase, so,
copies are important, that's why I made a video on it, and that's when people started saying that you shouldn't do review copies, and I'm like, dude.
Why would you do review copies?
Why would you want to be in the dark on a game? Why would you want that? Like, Next question.
to be honest, there's not that many great questions. This is a great question. And this is by Ed Philosophy again. He's been on a roll.
Okay.
He asks, what two game developer companies would you like to work together on a video game?
That's a really good question, Dan.
Aside from the obvious.
Aside from Bethesda doing the world building and Obsidian doing the question. Like, okay. We get it. That's like the ideal match made in heaven, but no one's going to fucking settle to do that. If they do, I'll be fucking mind blown.
It's interesting. I want to say Ubisoft, because of the historical aspects of Assassin's Creed and how they just capture those worlds brilliantly. And I want to see that melded in with... That's a tough one. No, you know what? I'll say this with whoever 2K is getting to work on the new Bioshock game. I would love to see that kind of really nice juxtaposition with, you know, these historical references, these old worlds mixed in with a new Bioshock game somehow. Like, if the Bioshock game was, like, set in a really distant past, I think that would be cool.
Damn, I'm having trouble thinking
of a question. I know, it's a fucking brilliant question.
I'd say Frontier Developments, which made Elite Dangerous, and EA, for the sole reason that they could work on Star Wars Space Sim games. Have either of you played or seen Elite Dangerous at all?
No, I actually haven't.
No, it's a bit bare bones content wise, but it's quite in depth and it feels really good to fly. And is an entire galaxy. So I think a Star Wars game like that would be awesome. But yeah, I mean, it would just be with EA for the purpose of licensing it with Star Wars, so...
Yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking of a good one right now.
Just some, like, eagling video game developers.
No, because I have, like, a bunch of ideas coming through my head. I know I want one to be BioWare.
Mass Effect.
BioWare as in writing. Their writing is always good. Okay. Like, story... characters, there's always some really big bright spot, even when they're not at their best. It's like really good patches. Oh, there goes my phone. I mean, I don't want to cop out. I won't say Bethesda, but I'm saying my ideal would have been BioWare and Bethesda.
Yeah.
But I'll say BioWare and... Actually, you know what would be really cool is actually Larian Studios and Black... And who the fuck does... what's his name work with now? Brian Fargo. They made Wasteland
2. Exile.
In Exile. Yeah. I think Larian in Exile would be a cool collaboration because... Yeah. They both do the same types of game, isometric overhead, strategy, role-playing type of games.
Yeah.
But they both do different, unique things with them that I think if they combine together could make something really cool. So I'm going to go with that. That's my hipster prediction.
Fair enough. I think that's about it.
Okay.
There's too many Harambe questions.
Fuck.
All right. No. I know.
All right.
Fucking hell. Yeah, so we'll
can it here then. Rob, thank you for joining us, bro.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a week far too long.
Oh, yeah. Better come back only, soon.
So another 71 until you join us again?
hopefully not.
God, there's been too many podcasts. When it gets to 100, we need to live stream that or do something different.
Yeah, I was thinking of that in the shower. I don't know why I had to specify. I was thinking of that in the shower earlier. I was like, what are we going to do for 100? Because, like, we're doing a new format now, which has been going over really well. We went to mobile. Like, what special thing could we do for 100?
But we only did live once.
But, dude, let's be honest, that was a fucking train wreck.
Only because Noah kept looking at the chat.
So did you.
Diverted.
So did you.
I know
was
I
the
did
only
too.
One who didn't stare at the chat. And it just, I don't know. I think it puts too much pressure on because if we fuck up, at least here, we usually don't have to. But if we fuck up here, I can edit something out.
Yeah, true.
When it's on Twitch, though, like, if someone says, like, we don't know sometimes, like, we know Rob would be fine. But we don't know if some of our guests have come on and said, like racist shit before. And we're like, we got to cut that.
Which episode? Oh, right, okay. You cut it.
Yeah.
Do I know then?
Yes. Yeah.
Was it Monty?
No. No.
Sorry.
I'll let you know. No, you're fine. I'll let you know after.
Oh, God.
All right.
That's bad.
We'll wrap this up.
Anyways.
Though. Episode
Daedalus, we always like to get the guests to end the podcast, so feel free to end it however you see fit. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Just thanks for having me on. And I could have droned on about Deus Ex a lot more, so thank you for stopping me.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.